Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk Calling Radio Show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com.
And I'm Joe. I'm here.
Yeah, it's Joe Barber, Country Joe. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we got Ryan today, right?
Yeah, our first guest is Ryan Slabaugh from Backyard Poultry Magazine. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
And so anyways, well, we got some questions for you here. I've been looking over my latest issue here. And I was wondering, how does that go if somebody wants to write an article for your magazine? I had an idea that I wanted to write an article for your magazine, and I notice a lot of people do that. Is there any big trick to that? Write it and submit it?
It's not yet. You can certainly email me at backyardpoultry@com. You can find my email address on our website as well and in the magazine. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people just email me ideas, or they'll email me whole articles, or most recently I reached out. I knew somebody who just started their first coop, and I knew he was a good writer, and so I reached out to him and said, hey, would you write me something and put a story behind it? And so it's pretty much all, any way you can imagine we get a story, we probably get a story that way.
Okay.
And you know, could you describe the magazine for our listeners who, unlike Joe, might not be subscribers, might not have seen it? What does Backyard Poultry contain on a general basis?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. We publish every other month about 100 pages of information about how to raise everything from how to tweak your coop for chickens to in the June-July edition coming out this summer, we're going to have an introduction to pigeons. Anything poultry and poultry related, we're probably going to cover it at some point. It's a magazine that that I'm just new to, and I've only put out a 2 or 3 editions, and I'm lucky enough to have been working with Elaine Bellinger, who's been running it as the editor for many years and has done a great job, and she's retiring, and so she's been taking me under her wing, I guess you could say, and really helped me figure it all out.
Yeah, we had Elaine on our show was it last year? I can't remember, but I remember Elaine was on, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, when I tried to call her to get her on a couple months ago, they're like, oh, no, Elaine's retired.
Yeah.
I didn't say that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it comes out every other month.
It comes out, yeah, every other month. You can subscribe on by going to our website at backyardpoultrymag.com and finding the subscription link. It's very affordable. We also do a bunch of other things. We reach out daily on Facebook and social media, and we've got a bunch of readers who interact with us on those pages. If you prefer those, if you have listeners who prefer that style, have 140 characters or less on Twitter and those kind of things, we're out there. So you can find us in all sorts of different areas, and we sure hear from people in all sorts of different ways as well. So that's the fun of it.
Yeah, it is. And you always get the answer, man, Ron Keene. He's very interesting. He has a lot of answers for a lot of problems that everybody might run into with their chickens or poultry. I've read things in there that I just ooh and ah, you know, I go, hey, I didn't know that. So he's very interesting in there. And like I say, you get such a variety of different things from geese to every kind of chicken. Yeah, that I find really interesting, you know. And and I like that. It's a well-versed magazine. And I look forward to mine. I've been getting mine since day one here, and I keep every one of them because I reference them back, and they're really, really good to have. And I was sitting here contemplating writing an article for this. Mine was going to be a little different. I didn't know. I was going to do how to process your own meat chickens. And you know, because a lot of people were asking me, how do you do it? And I get that every day. Mm-hmm. You know, so I thought, you know, people raise like a half a dozen or 10 or 11, and they get them up to the age, and then they panic. You know, what do I need?
Right,
how do I do
right.
this?
And yeah, I thought, especially because there are a lot of people just coming into raising poultry. Go ahead, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to ask how many chickens you have. Yeah, that would be a great idea. We get questions about them all the time. A lot of that is intimidating to people first getting started.
Yeah, and I was going to write a little article and then show you stage by stage, because I built my own slaughterhouse here, and it's very efficient. So, I do probably bigger numbers than most people. I do, you know, like 300-400 at a time. And but the process is still the same, whether you do 1,000 or one. Yeah. And there's a lot of tricks that you learn that can save you a lot of time and a lot of headache and a lot of frustration. I found that out. And there's very few people that really will show you how or know how. And a lot of this, you know, I've picked up different tips from different people, and I thought, well, I'll put this all together and have some pictures and in an article. And I thought, well, that'd help out people. So that was my idea.
Well, I like it. Send it on. I'll reach out to you after the show, and we'll figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah, and Joe, you've been raising chickens for how many years?
Oh, God.
Dare I ask?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think here. I didn't keep an exact date, but I'll bet you it's been 12, 15 years.
Excellent.
And when we say raising chickens, it's the age-old hobby that got out of hand and went up to like 700-800 chickens and borderline on 1,000, and you know, with 100 turkeys certain times a year. And so I do everything from the rare chickens to the meat chickens. Those are my primary, the meat chickens and the meat turkeys. And that's my big thing, and it's just it grows and it grows and it grows, and finally, you know, I just don't know where it's all going to end. I keep saying I'm not going to build another barn, and my wife keeps saying you're not going to build another barn. And next thing you know, I got another one. And
well, next thing you know, we have someone on talking about rare chickens, and Joe says, "Oh,
yeah." And up goes another coop. Yeah, you know, like I've got six 80-foot coops out there now. And and I'm already making plans for another one. So, and I just got done building a state-of-the-art slaughterhouse, stainless steel, everything, the pluckers, the whole deal. So, and like I say, you know, everybody around, you know, says, "Oh, Joe, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that?" And, you know, which ends up I'm literally doing it.
Well, and that's why it would be good to get an article out there maybe for Ryan's magazine, because that way, you know, somebody in Kansas can't expect you to go to their house and show them how to do it by doing it yourself. You know, gentlemen, we are running out of time for this segment. Ryan, will you stick with us?
I will. I can stay on the line, sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. We will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And talking with Ryan Slabaugh of Backyard Poultry Magazine.
I'm a breed.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet, and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand. A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. We have with us Ryan Slabaugh of Backyard Poultry Magazine, and Joe was just telling us just how many chickens he has.
Uh-huh. Well, it varies. It goes up and down all the time. But, yeah, it is.
How you have time
really
for a radio show? That's what I'm wondering. That would keep me busy full time, I think.
Well, it was just funny because 15 minutes ago I was just out there feeding my chickens. Here's a funny good tip is I'm all about all natural and organic, and we juice in our house every day, and all the pulp that comes from the carrots and all that stuff, I run it out and give it to the chickens. And every time I go out there now, you know, everybody runs to the edge of the coop. You know, they're all, you know, what has he got now? What has he got now? But that was
excellent. Well, and then that's something we publish a lot of information, and it's certainly growing in interest of our readers is looking at more natural, healthy, cleaner ways to still have chickens. And boy, there's a lot of good ideas out there about
there
how
is.
To do that. So we might be interested in another article way down the line about that as well from you.
Yeah, well, you know, I take all my vegetables, the salads and all of that stuff, and we eat all natural and organic, and every bit of it goes to my chickens. But I noticed that when I feed them the carrot pulp, within a couple of days, all my egg yolks are bright, bright orange. And it's,
wow.
So I know they're getting all the beta carotene out of that, you know. And it's, and that's why everybody's after my eggs. And it's amazing here because I go through easily 100 dozen eggs out of here a week, and I never have enough eggs. Everybody, you know, they're always up here. Joe, I want to be next. I want to be next. And I feel like, God, you know, I can't build another coop.
There's nothing like homemade or homegrown eggs, you know, that's for sure. So,
yeah, everybody in my town, you know, they're always up here getting. I got a guy, I live in like central Florida down by Daytona, and I got a guy that comes almost 100 miles from St. Augustine to pick up 50 dozen a week. And he, you know, he has a route that he goes around, and it just loathes my eggs. And I put in a little piece of paper, and that's another thing. You know, anybody's doing this on the side, you know, it's a side hobby or whatever that wants to make money. I wrote up a little article that I stick in every dozen eggs that tells how my chickens are all cage free, all natural fed. The whole deal, and that makes a big, big difference to people. And that's another little tip that, you know, people ought to do if they're raising chickens that way. Because all, like I say, none of my chickens are caged up. Well, they're caged up. They're in 80-foot.
And well, yeah. They're in cages that are bigger than some of the apartments in my area. I'm up here in Boston. So, you know, is that something that you talk about in the magazine, egg production and the different things people can do to affect the taste and quality of the eggs?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and certainly that's probably one of the biggest questions I get from readers, as you well know, since you know, touch a lot of eggs every day. There's a lot of weird, funny, interesting things that can happen during the egg laying process. So sometimes a lot of people, especially when they're first getting started, that first weird egg that they get, there will be a little bit of panic, you know, that comes going, oh, is my hen healthy, or what can I do about it? And we hopefully can help them, guide them to the right answer, or at least give the answer to the question and see if they can handle it for us. So.
Yeah, and that's why I say that Ron Keen is a real good for that, because he's answered a lot of questions in the past. I've gone through your past magazines, and I found a lot of my answers right there that he's written articles about, or people have written him about. And it's really, really interesting to have somebody like that, and good.
Yeah, is he a veterinarian, like Ryan?
Because there's always questions as long as I've been doing it.
Right. He works at the University of Wisconsin, so he is a professor there, and in the academic side of things. And so he, knows, certainly he's a practicing educator as well, but he is also very well versed in all types of poultry, and really helps us and our readers out a lot with, either some breeds that we're not familiar with or we don't run across on a daily basis, and some of the types of poultry that aren't as common to be raised that we might not be raising ourselves, that we reach out to him, turkeys, whether it's turkeys, pigeons, ducks, anything like that, that he really understands all facets and understands the science behind it, which it's a different approach than some of us take, which is more of the learn-as-we-go approach. But he knows, and he talks to so many different people every day about what they're doing, that he really is a collector of great ideas out there.
And I also noticed that when he writes you back or answers you, he makes it so you can understand it. That's what's really important and fun.
Yeah.
That's really key, because I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, they're way over our heads, when they start talking to us, and you don't want to feel dumb and say, what are you talking about? But
yes, could you spell that word so I could Google it and find out what you're talking about? Yeah, that's never a good way to have a conversation. Now, Ryan, how did you get involved in backyard poultry anyway?
You know, I've been in the magazine, newspaper, publishing side of things for about 10, 15 years now, and working my way through a number of different products. And the company I worked for recently worked with Elaine and had purchased these group of magazines that they're associated with. And as Elaine and JD were retiring, they reached out to us and thought if we were interested. And so I crossed my desk when the opportunity came. I jumped at it and went and said, boy, I would love to go work for this magazine. And it worked out. There was the opening, and Elaine was stepping aside. And so they threw me in and figured it out. And that's kind of the process I'm doing. It's really much different than the general interest things I'm doing, but I do love the focus of the magazine and the fact that it leads us to all sorts of different conversations outside of poultry, like healthy food raising and what is the right way to right way, but what is the best way? What's a great idea for staying healthy and selecting whether it's right chicken breed or the right duck, or having chickens as companions, or raising them as meat as you do. And so it's a little bit of a new world for me, but boy, I'm having fun.
Yeah. Now, do you plan on doing anything different in the magazine that hasn't been done before, or is it pretty much going to stay the way it is?
My boss might be listening here, so I should probably. inevitably, we're gonna. I would like to bring in some new ideas and some things that we can do to grow the magazine and help reach more readers out there and do those things that'll keep us publishing 10, 15 years from now. But right now, we're really taking a very cautious approach and making sure that before we change anything, our readers are comfortable with it. I think they may see a little bit looser design and some easier to read pages. And we gave a little bit more space to some articles in the summer, but nothing too drastic. And we're just trying to make sure that we first understand our readers and know who they are before we ever go changing. A lot.
Yeah. Well, especially as you're the new guy on the block there at the magazine.
I'm sure that's right.
You don't want to end up in the slaughterhouse yourself. Guys, we are
first
all
of harm,
the
that oath we take too.
Yeah. Ryan, will you stick with us?
I will.
Excellent. We will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, we have Ryan Slabaugh here with Backyard Poultry Magazine. Now, Ryan, where are you located? Where is the magazine published out of? Because we know Joe is in Florida. I'm up here in Boston. And where are you?
I'm in Chicago. And our the rest of our team who works for the magazine is in Bedford, Wisconsin. And we have a loose band of freelancers who live all over the country and world. I matter a couple who live in England and a couple, everybody from Florida to Alaska, we have riders from. So
interesting.
There's chickens everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere. Now, how long has the magazine been going, Ryan?
You know, it's the most recent iteration of it's been going for about, you know, eight years or so. It was started right, you know, kind of when we were at the time when it was starting to become popular again to have backyard chickens especially, and that's, you know, primarily a lot of our readers have chickens, and then we have quite a few readers who also have geese and ducks, but it was really the when the previous owners saw the opportunity that was happening. People were going to town councils and county governments and state governments and saying, boy, we really want to work with you to relax the laws to allow us to have some hens in our backyard, even in places like Chicago where I am. There's a lot of neighborhood coops and co-ops starting, and the local food movement, as we all know, has been really taking off and really becoming popular with restaurants. It's becoming very important for them to identify where they're getting their ingredients from, and that goes all the way to farmers markets, et cetera. And so that's the real momentum that the magazine was riding, but it had actually been previously established in the 70s, back when there was a similar momentum going on, and then I think the 80s happened, and people kind of got a little more distant from that. And food processing really started taking off and became less of an incentive to do this. And certainly we saw a lot of laws changing at that time and nuisance codes changing that didn't allow poultry. And so we've seen that reversing and all that's reflected why our magazine's out there and why our readers are subscribing.
Uh-huh. Now, do you notice the trend still going up? It seems to be down here. I don't know if it's a nationwide thing, you know, as far as people.
No, it is.
You know,
I still think that local food movement, you know, we just saw, you know, the USDA this week or late last week, you know, loosen more laws on factory-produced chicken, on what chemicals they can use and things like that. And boy, we sure get a lot of people, you know, signing up saying, okay, you know, that's the last time I'm going to buy a chicken at a major chain, you know, grocery store or something like that. Not that some grocery stores do have really good selections, and it's certainly depending on where you live, but I think that people are taking charge of where they get their food again, and I'm sure hearing, in fact, we got an email this morning from a group out in Oregon that were celebrating the first anniversary of being able to allow hens, and so they're throwing a coop tour.
Wow.
In their town to celebrate the first anniversary. So,
you know, and I know that I watch quite a bit of, you know, food-type TV shows, and there's a big push on every show, every network, for local grown food, you know, know where your food is coming for the environmental reasons and for the fact that, you know, if I'm buying a chicken at a supermarket, it could have been trucked here across the country from somewhere, you know, in Texas or Oklahoma, and all the freezer time and all the fuel that it takes for the truck and everything to get it. And never mind what conditions the poor thing was raised in. And, you know, if you know you're a local chicken farmer, you know where the eggs are coming from. You can ask what they feed them. And you can be assured of the quality. Now, when I, you know, I thought of this when Joe was talking about when he's been juicing carrots and giving them carrot pulp, their yolks change color. Is that something that people talk about and people ask?
Yeah, they do.
As far as like egg color, or specifically, you know, using organic ingredients as feed, or both.
Both.
I guess. Mm-hmm. We get those, you know, feed questions are really common because, as you suggest, certainly it has an impact on the meat quality and the egg quality. And so a lot of experiments, and I think that within reason, a really good idea for a lot of, especially when you're starting, is to find that right balance. It really does take a little bit of trial and error out there, and certainly relying on people like Joe who have done a lot of the heavy lifting and figured out a lot of things along the way, and calling neighbors who didn't. Asking them, you know, what if I do this, or what herbs would be best for this situation, and, especially, you know, changing of seasons and times when the gets a little stressed. It's great to be able to work some herbs and things like that into their feed to help balance out their diet and get a better product. So, yeah, I think it's a great concern of people, and especially as you were mentioning, when they're really using it for food, or even if it's just the eggs that they're using. They want the product to be high quality. You know, they want to be proud of what they're doing. And so they want to make sure that they're doing everything they can to have that quality product.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed, you know, when you talk about feeding them all natural stuff and things, and I've learned the hard way, if you feed your chickens things like onions, you do taste it in the eggs, believe it or not. and you learn this through trial and error, I guess, but you got to be careful of the stronger stuff. But it's a lot of fun. But getting back to the meat chickens, I had heard a lot. Ryan, I don't know if you know this or because I certainly don't for a fact, but a lot of our chickens, I mean a high percentage, over 50% I have heard of our chickens are coming from Indonesia, from like Thailand and Vietnam and that sort of thing. And I don't know if that's true or not, but God, you know, I was thinking about that and I thought, holy smokes, you just don't know what they're doing over there, you know, or how they're raising these things. But I noticed a lot of seafood comes from Thailand and in those Indonesian countries, so it wouldn't surprise me that the chickens were, because they, from what I understand, you know, we have a trade balance the U.S. with these people, and it costs them nothing to get these chickens over here, and you don't know how they were raised and the whole thing. So that's what scares a lot of people around here, and I've been trying to find, you know, written information on that to verify it, but I haven't. I don't know if you heard anything about that.
You know, I haven't heard a whole lot about that, but certainly the seafood side, I've heard a lot about that, and talked to even some local chef friends who work in the mm-hmm. city here, and they sure do pay a lot of attention to that, even, you know, avoiding certain regions that overfish and don't have the ethics that some regions do. I think it'd be very safe to apply that to any sort of food or farming, or whether it's in the water or not. I think the more we can understand and help educate where our food comes from, the better choices we'll make. And I think as soon as you've seen consumers start to say they care is when it's really changing the habits of suppliers. And so that's really where it's really that grassroots movement that you're seeing a lot of change happen. And that's exciting and that's healthy. And so it's nice to see a healthy change happen in our country, because we all know food is not always the best habit that Americans have. We don't always like very well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think one of the things that you know, you can't get much more local than growing your own chickens and growing your own eggs in your own backyard. You know, believe it or not, gentlemen, we are almost out of time again. We will be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm a brain. Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. You know, Ryan is from Backyard Poultry Magazine, and I had a question sort of out of the blue. What age level? Because I know a lot of families are now getting into thinking of raising chickens and having their own eggs. And what sort of age level is backyard poultry aimed at? Is it something like a fourth or fifth grader could understand?
You know, we really try to make it accessible. Certainly there might be some things that adults will better understand, but there's a lot of content that we publish for kids, a lot of photos of kids with their chickens, and a lot of tips. You know, kids can come up with some amazing things and some amazing ideas on what to do, and even just funny names to name your chicken. They're pretty good at that, too. So we hear all the stories from them, and they, a lot of times, they become the chicken advocates. You know, they're the ones emailing us and writing us and telling us the stories. And I think that a lot of parents are seeing the opportunity to teach their kids some lifelong lessons with the flock, even if it's just one or two chickens. You know, they really learn the discipline that you need just to make sure that they're healthy and you have the routine down and also being accountable for what to do and making sure that they are healthy and that you're living up to your end of the bargain as a kid, as part of the family. However you want to do it, I think it's a great exercise.
It is. And what's fun is I know a lot of people around here love to buy the little incubators and hatch their own eggs. I get that a lot. People come to my place looking for fertile eggs, you know, because they want to bring them home and experience that whole thing. And that's a lot of fun, too. And I noticed that's really growing, especially down around here. And that's a fun part of, you know, then they bring them home and raise them up, and that's the whole deal. And we've talked before, a chicken, if you well cared for, can live 10, 15 years. Won't lay an egg that long, but it'll live that long. You know, what a bark for a pet.
And we are seeing lots of, you know, the other end of our, you know, our readers are a lot of the people. We have a big population of retirees or people who are working on retiring, and a lot of them moved to the city to have their jobs and their careers and now are moving back to the country or used to have or live in the country but never had time to really focus on having a few chickens or ducks or geese around, and they really you know, feel that sentimental calling, you know, of when they have the time again to go, you know, I had these when I was a kid and I'd like a flock again. And so they get right back at it, and those are some fun stories to hear as well. But to your point, there's nothing better than seeing that those your first batch of hatch.
It's true. And also, I do run into the people that say, you know, tell me about when they were a kid. I hear that all the time. And, boy, you know, I used to do this, and, you know, I'm going to try it again, you know, because they are retired, especially down here in Florida. You know, a lot of the cities have lax, or, like you say, the regulations where you can have four or five or whatever hens. And I hear that all the time. And it's a lot of fun because I get people driving up here, you know, I want a chicken already laying. And I say, okay. You know, I get that, you know, you don't want to start from the beginning. No. You know, so, but I get a lot of the older people that are retiring and it's a lot of fun to them. My God, the questions they get, I have just as many questions as somebody who's never done it. And, you know, they used to do it. They say they used to do it, but they forgot all about it, you know. And that's a lot of fun, you know, having people. And I love answering questions. And it's fun, the questions you get. And I had an older couple that were insistent that to get eggs, you needed a rooster. And there was no talking him down out of that. He just said, no, if you don't have a rooster, you're not going to get eggs. So I finally had to let
that go. I get that a lot, too. I can't remember. I think they're from Idaho, and they were working with their town council, and they'd asked me to write a letter to their town council member, them explaining that roosters aren't old hens, because they were convinced that once hens got older, they turned into roosters, and that would create a lot of noise in the town. So they needed some help.
That would be quite a trick, wouldn't it? You know, and I know a lot of the towns around here are working on. Because, like, in Newton, where I lived for many years, I live right outside of Boston, and Newton, for many years, you could have chickens, a certain number of chickens or hens, but you weren't allowed to have roosters. And so a friend of mine who was in another town in Malden, you know, ordered a half dozen chicks, and one of them turned out to be a rooster, and she said it was not quite the thing to do, because Malden is a very densely populated area. And she said the first morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning that he found his voice, we thought everyone in the neighborhood is going to know we have a rooster now.
God, that's no kidding. When you can't shut them up either. When they start crowing, they go all day and well into the night if there's any light. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. You know, so, yeah, those aren't ideal. That gives the chicken game a bad name.
We always encourage people to embrace their neighbors, and if you're doing it in a dense environment or even just a suburban neighborhood, to have a show and tell and invite everybody over to see and touch and feel and really get familiar with what they're doing. So if there's some noise disturbance or those kind of things, you get the benefit of the doubt in the long run.
You know, and another thing that I love to tell people to do is try these rare chickens. I know now that, you know, from Dr. Charles Everett and Craig Russell with the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities, I've joined that, and boy, I'll tell you, boy, that's opened my eyes up on the different rare chickens that are almost extinct, and they're fun to have. That's another thing I like to tell people that are just starting into the chicken business. Try a few of them. They're different. They're fun. And I really, really enjoy those. And I notice now that you have an article, I think it's every time your magazine comes out, by Dr. Charles Everett on rare chickens. I notice that now in your magazine. And that's a fun thing. That's something different people ought to look into.
Yeah, that's something that really opened my eyes. I had no idea some of the variations that were out there. So, yeah, every time I get some copy from Dr. Everett, I'm a little surprised or hope to be a little surprised with what he's writing us. So, there is, especially some of the international breeds that we don't see a whole lot in our country still. There's a lot out there that we wonder if they're even documented at this point too.
Yeah, there is. And the same thing I've found with turkeys, how rare some of these turkeys are that were brought over here, from Europe years and years ago, like the chocolate turkeys, which I've got an order in for. They went extinct in 1915 and they brought them back. I don't know. I was just reading on that one, and they got them back, but in 2009, I think they almost went extinct again. There was only like 40 pair left, and I got me some of them. And those are just fun things to raise. I mean, I don't raise those for meat. It's just to raise them. And I noticed when I got them here, people always say, what's that? You know, they're always thinking of a turkey should be the dark black, you know, bronze turkey. And I'll explain it to them. They go, huh, I didn't know that. And those are fun to have. In the rare chickens, the red caps, those are my other new favorite, Karen, the red caps.
Right. What you don't know is Joe can have a new favorite every time we do a show.
Well, the golden campines, those are my other rare favorites. Those are almost extinct. I just love rare chickens because a lot of these chickens, they're just so antique-y looking, or I think they are anyway.
And you know, when you talk to a normal person, they think of a chicken as one thing and a turkey as another thing. Like there's only one thing that's a chicken, and they don't know what's out there. Gentlemen, we are, believe it or not, out of time again. We will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, before we get to the end of the show, I want to give Ryan an opportunity to talk about his website, and I'm going to give you our website. If you want to ask a question of Joe or any of us on All Paws Pet Talk, the website is allpawspetalk.com, and there's a form right there on the homepage. Or if you're wondering when the other times you can listen to the show are, there's a list right there on the homepage that I'm going to update and add more places this afternoon. Now, Ryan, did you want to mention your website?
Sure, would love the opportunity. We are at backyardpoultrymag.com. It's backyardpoultrymag.com, and we're also on Facebook at Backyard Poultry. And if you are looking out there on Twitter or anywhere else, you can probably find us. So we're everywhere.
Well, and chickens are getting more and more widespread, and knowledge of them. You know, I know, as you were saying, that, you know, somebody tried to get you to write a letter to say that you know, chickens can't lay eggs without a rooster. You know, there are people that don't know where the thing they find in the freezer in the supermarket come from.
It's true.
It's very true. And I think part of probably one point in my life I might have been one of them. But, you know, it sure does feel better knowing.
Mm-hmm. It'd be fun. Yeah, like I would just love to be on that with you, Ryan, because I could think of 1,000 different things I'd like to do with this magazine, like have a different chicken of the month, you know, feature a chicken of the month and talk all about it kind of thing. That'd be fun.
I think those are great ideas.
Yeah.
And if you end up having a pet chicken, Ryan, you can always nominate it for Pet of the Day. Joe had his turkey, who was Pet of the Day, on my own personal website, petoftheday.com. Lucky the turkey was Pet of the Day on Thanksgiving last fall. So, Joe and I are the different ends of the chicken spectrum.
Uh-huh. Well, this one here I've had for a long time now. Especially on my farm, you know, with the turkeys. But this one here I fell in love with when it was a baby chick. It followed me all around and not the other turkeys. So naturally, it got spared. So now he just runs around the farm, or she does. And so that's how I got Lucky the turkey. And I've got a couple of hens that are pets, too, that, you know, they'll be here until the end.
But, and Ryan, do you talk about that in Backyard Poultry? People who have chickens, you know, just more as pets than as produce.
Yes. Yeah, we have to be a little careful when we recommend butchering tips or things like that. Certainly, we know a lot of people like the process of birth, but we also know a lot of people, and quite a few of our readers are horrified at the thought of doing such things. And really see the chickens as companion pets. And we have to be a little careful. We probably ask advice or answer questions, really. We're certainly seeing, I was called by a reporter from the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks ago who wanted to talk about a new innovation in chicken diapers that are out there for house chickens, so that you put a diaper on it and have a chicken diaper. So, yeah, there's all sorts of gimmicks and things that help people have chickens as pets instead of necessarily as animals for slaughter or anything like that. But to your point, we don't discriminate against any one of those folks. We like anybody who likes chickens, we want to reach out to.
And you know what I found interesting, Ryan, is a lot of people think that a laying hen is the same chicken that you eat. And wow, what an education that was, getting people through that. You know, and I said, well, if you ever ate a chicken that just laid eggs, you'd like chewing a rubber ball. But a lot of people don't realize, and these are people that own chickens. I mean, they don't process them or anything, but they think a chicken is a chicken, and that's pretty basic. And that's what I find interesting. You see these people every day, and you think, wow, do you have to tell a bunch of people, and then you hear it comes back up again. And that's why I think your magazine's so important, because you get right down to the basics and just talk about these things, and then people, how many people say, oh, I didn't know that, and you hear that all the time. And I think it's just endless, the articles that are in here that, you know, that's why I keep everyone, because it answers everything right from the basic right up to the technical. And that's the fun part about the magazine, I think. And you know, like I say, with Ron Keene, the answer man, he really, really helps you through a lot of this stuff, and me too. And
I hope you're right about endless stories. You know, that'll keep us going for quite some time. That's the case. But yes, I think, you're exactly right. Boy, anybody who tells me they know everything about chickens, I don't get too excited about hearing that, because I don't think it's possible.
It's true. They teach you something every day. Every day I go in there, and, you know, it's always something different that I didn't run into. And I talk to other people, and some people have run into this problem. That's what's fun. Down here we have a chicken club, and everybody gets together, and they pass their problems and questions around, and that's a fun way of learning also. And that's why I look forward to, you know, getting your magazine, because there's always something in there that I always go, if I did know it, I forgot it, I don't know. But that's why I hang on to every magazine, and I reference them all the time. And it's really interesting, because it's quite a hobby if you like birds at all. It's so interesting, because you can go from one thing to another and have them all here on the farm, like I say, from turkeys to rare chickens and rare turkeys, and it just never ends here. And you know, and I can't tell you how many people I've got into chickens alone by just, you know, they come up here and they start asking questions, and then they go home, and then they call me again. The next thing you know, where can I get them, and what should I get, and what kind should I get? So I've helped a lot of people along the way also, and that's why I say.
Hopefully, by us having this radio show, people listening to the show who have been, you know, maybe had an inkling in their brain that chickens might be something they want to get into, can learn enough to get the impetus up to actually getting their own chickens in wherever they are, you know, whether they're have a suburban backyard or, well, if you're like Joe, you better start with a big property, because you're going to end up with hundreds of chickens.
It's true, you know, because I guess they're intimidating when you've never had them, and you go, oh, I don't know how to take care of them. You know, that sounds like a lot of work, or this or that, and, you know, all these myths that you hear. And you find out it's really fun. I enjoy it anyway. And they're not that hard to take care of, and they're a lot of fun to be around and to have them. And I'd love to see everybody get into this. I really would, you know, because it doesn't take a lot of space. Even if you live, like you say, in an urban setting, you can have a small backyard and three or four hens, and your neighbors don't even know you got them.
till that one chick turns out to be a rooster, and then the gig is up.
That's it.
I want to thank you, Ryan, for being with us. We are out of time this week on Country Joe's Chicken Show. You've been listening on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Joe and I have a little thing that we try to say together at the end of the show. And you ready?
We got to get Ryan in on this.
That's
it's
right.
Called, are you ready, Karen?
I'm ready. Okay.
Okay, go.
May the flock
be with you.
With you.
We say that all the time.